Ramsey TV.
I would like to send my heartfelt thanks to Nancy, our fellow believer Nancy of Texas, and fellow viewer of this show, who sent me a t-shirt from, of all places, Texas. And the back of this shirt says, "You all can go to hell, but I'm going to Texas." There it is. You can all go to hell. I'm going to Texas. Perfect. I love it. Thank you. Oh, she also sent me a $25 Amazon gift card. I confess, I get a lot of stuff from Amazon. They just make it so easy. Yeah, I know it's the Beast or one of the chief players of the Beast system, but that's okay. I can't help it. I'm an Amazon Prime member, which saves me tons of money in the long run. It saves me running around here in the terrible Fort Lauderdale, South Florida traffic, risking my life. You don't want me to risk my life out there. So one great thing about Amazon, of course, you can compare things, you can read reviews, and it's free shipping for Prime members. Yeah, it costs a little bit more each year, but you save big time in the long run if you order a lot of things from Amazon, which I do. So anyway, thank you so much, Nancy, for this wonderful shirt and for the gift card, which I will use forthwith. Thank you. So, this is Martin Zender. I'm the world's most outspoken Bible scholar. You're at the edge of the bottom of the Florida Peninsula fellowshipping with me. And yes, I'm still on the theme of why people don't believe, why people can't believe. And that's, it's true. People can't believe. And you can't do anything but believe. How's that? That's amazing, really. Most of the world can't believe, and you can't do anything but believe, because God gave you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the realization of Him. I mean, if you've been designated beforehand for the place of a son or a daughter, how can you not hear the truth? You can't not hear the truth. There's no such thing as someone being designated before the eons, before the disruption of the world even. There's no such thing as a predesignated person not sometime in their life hearing the truth, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by a declaration of God, by people who have been commissioned and sent by God. There's no way that you won't hear the message. There's no way you won't believe the message. God will give you belief to acquaint you with the message. So I've been in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to continue there today. This is the verse I've been driving toward. I actually thought I was going to get to this verse on Tuesday. Here it is, Thursday, finally here. Now, what I'm going to read to you now is from the Concordant Literal New Testament. This verse has been mistranslated in the King James Version, causing no end of deception. But who brings the deception? God brings the deception for them to believe the lie. Those who do not receive the love of the truth. And I tell you that everyone who resists the truth that you bring them, they do not love the truth. How many times have I told you? Many, many people who you tried to present the truth to will appear at the great white throne. And God will say to them, "You didn't love the truth." And they will say, "I did. I love the truth." And God will say, "Remember when that Rob Weil guy, that weird guy from Canada, came up to you and told you about the salvation of all, and there were two gospels?" And they will say, "Yeah, you're not telling me that was the..." Yes, God will say, "That was the truth. And you wrote the guy off as a fringe lunatic, which proves that you didn't love the truth. Maybe you were basing it on the man's outward appearance, or that he's from Canada, or that he has no reputation, or that he broadcasts from his garage. Maybe that all tripped you up, just like it tripped up the Pharisees that Jesus was from Nazareth. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Well, yes, indeed. Can anything good come from a garage in Alberta, Canada? Yes, indeed. But here we have an explanation, a nuts and bolts explanation, a report from the field, from the relative viewpoint of why people don't believe and can't believe. Now, the soulish man is not receiving those things which are of the Spirit of God, for they are stupidity to him, and he is not able to know them. This whole thing goes back to the stupidity of the cross. He is not able to know them, seeing that they are spiritually examined. I love this. This goes along with spiritual words I was talking about yesterday. Now, the King James blows this. And again, as I said, it has caused a lot of trouble. The King James says, now, the natural man is not receiving those things which are of the Spirit of God. The natural man. But wait a minute. The Greek word here is psukikon, which is soul. And the King James translated psukikon, soul, and many, many, many other places. Yet here, instead, when it's in the adjective form, instead of making it soulish or related to the soul, the King James puts natural, even though they had another word for natural. There was another word that they translated natural. Let me see if I can find it here. Live Bible study on the fly here. I don't even have my glasses. Let's look up the word natural, because I think the concordant translates consistently. Nature, natural. Yes. The Greek word behind the English word natural is phuikon. I'm not guaranteeing my Greek pronunciations. P-H-U, I don't have my glasses. It could be an A, could be an E. Could be any kind of, any vowel. I'll buy all the vowels. In any case, it's not the word sukakon. It's fu-i-k-on. Different word. But the King James translated this word natural, but they also translated a different word natural. That is sukakon, which is soul. Or the adjective form of soul, soulish. What havoc has this wreaked? Well, let me explain it to you. According to the King James Version, the natural man is not receiving those things which are of the Spirit of God. That's a lie. But if you believe that translation, if you're a King James only person, what are you going to end up thinking then? If the natural man is not receiving the things of the Spirit of God, then what do you have to do to receive the things of the Spirit of God? Anybody? Yes, become unnatural. You have to do unnatural things. And this has fueled really the entire Pentecostal movement. Because they think that we can't get this with our natural minds. Our natural minds are evil. No, they're not. There's nothing wrong with your natural mind. There's nothing wrong with the natural gray matter that God gave you. That's what is used. That's what you use to understand the truth, to apprehend the truth, to realize the truth, is your natural mind, your natural gray matter. There's nothing wrong with the natural man. But if you think that the natural man or the natural woman is not receiving the things of the Spirit of God, then you have to suddenly discard the natural and instead emphasize the supernatural. But there's nothing wrong with the supernatural, but at the expense of the natural? No. The supernatural works with our natures, with our natural body functions such as thinking. But if you think that the natural man is not receiving the things of the Spirit of God, then, again, you're going to try to become unnatural. And since studying is natural, understanding words is natural, we can't do that. No, that's natural. The natural man is not understanding the things of the Spirit of God. So we can't study. This is what the Pentecostals literally think. Studying is worthless. It just makes you more natural. Listening to these people like Martin Zender who emphasize definitions of words and context and Greek words and the English elements. Oh, that's just so natural. You have to just flow with the Spirit in order to understand these things. Flow with the Spirit. You have to become wispy and wafty and you have to become ethereal and hyper weird in order to understand the things of the Spirit of God. This is why the Pentecostals get all high and mighty on their interpretations, on their whims, right? They have a cotton candy factory in their brains that just weaves, spins this sugary confection that they call spiritual revelation. But it's all based on their feelings. It's all based on their emotions. You know how fast cotton candy melts, right? You put it in your mouth, like, it's gone. I love it, though. One of my favorite foods. Is it a food? Oh, well, I still like it. But the right translation is the soulish man. What's the difference? It's a huge difference. The soulish man and the spiritual man or woman, they're still using their natural brain. But the soulish person is has a very heightened sensitivity to the things right before them in the world, what their senses can perceive. Soul has to do with your consciousness, your perception, the five senses by which you perceive the world around you. And so the soulish man or woman who depends only on the outward, the external stimuli, they will not receive the things of the Spirit of God, because the things of the spiritual of the Spirit of God are not discerned via outward stimuli, things you can see, touch, hear, smell, but by spiritual means. Spiritual and soulish oppose one another, not natural and spiritual. Natural is not the opposite of spiritual. Many people think it is, and so they try to be unnatural. Soulish is the opposite of spiritual. Again, soulish is just what you see. If you can't see it, if you can't hear it, if you can't taste it, if you can't smell it, you don't believe it. That's the soulish person. The soulish person who says it's all about science, or you just can't believe anything you can't see or you can't prove with your own eyes or whatever, those people aren't receiving the things of the Spirit of God. But the things of the Spirit of God are just as real, but they're discerned spiritually with the natural mind. The natural mind is the common denominator between a soulish person and a spiritual person. They're both using the natural mind. But one uses the natural mind to apprehend things of the Spirit of God, which require faith that cannot be seen, smelled, felt. And so a person who is constantly and only responding to the world's stimuli, they can't get the things of the Spirit of God. The soulish human, I should stop saying man, because there's a superscript H above the word man in the Concordant version. I just wish they would have made it human, but you got to do a little extra step of work. The soulish human is not receiving those things which are of the Spirit of God, for they, that is the things that are of the Spirit of God, are stupidity to him or her, and he or she is not able to know them, not able to know them, seeing that they are spiritually examined. That's the word I should have been using here instead of discerned, kind of the same thing. But no, I like examined better, because it does speak to the habits, the proclivities of the natural mind. The natural mind examines things. I mean, you can examine a cell under a microscope. And you can also examine the words of God on the page that explain fantastic, amazing things like the snatching away. You see, the soulish person will read 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 17, where Paul teaches the snatching away of the body of Christ. The dead in Christ will rise first. What? Thereupon we, the living, who are remaining to the coming of the Lord, will at the same time be snatched away together with them in clouds. What? The soulish person is not going to get that, because it's spiritually examined. You're still using your mind, but the soulish person has nothing in their known world which can relate to that amazing passage of Scripture. They have nothing by which to relate it to. The dead in Christ will rise first. They've never seen anybody rise from the dead. And who's in Christ? It's invisible. Where's the Christ organization? Where's the Christ building? No, not the Chrysler building. The Christ building. Where is it? There isn't one. Where's the Christ organization? It's invisible. Where's Christ himself? Invisible. He's not literally invisible. He just hasn't shown up lately. God is the Savior of all humanity, especially of believers. The soulish person, the person that judges everything and receives everything only by means of the five senses, cannot understand that. God's invisible. Salvation to them is an obscure concept. Because these truths are spiritually examined. And if somebody, how do you examine something spiritually? There's your next question. You can only examine something spiritually if you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. And how can you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you unless God sends His Spirit into you? And for the overwhelming majority of the human race, 99.999% of them do not have the measure of the Spirit of God needed to access or examine spiritual information, such as the passages I just shared with you. They don't have it. They have enough of the Spirit of God to stand on their two feet, because no one can be alive except by the Spirit of God. What does plankton and your neighbor down the road have in common? Well, they're both animated by the Spirit of God. They're both made alive by the Spirit of God. But plankton has no more of a, quote, chance, unquote, of hearing and receiving the things of God as your neighbor down the road. Yeah, the plankton and your neighbor have this in common. They don't have enough of the Spirit of God to discern spiritual things. In some cases, the plankton might be more intelligent than your neighbor. Could be. Could be. At least the plankton doesn't deny that God exists. I mean, your neighbor could be an atheist. I don't think any plankton that I know of has ever been an atheist. Plankton's not that stupid. Well, the things of the Spirit of God are stupidity to the soulish human. And he or she is not able to know them, seeing that they are spiritually examined. Yet, he or she who is spiritual is indeed examining all. I have a cross-reference here that I wrote maybe many years ago, Colossians 2:7. I wonder why I put that cross-reference here. Well, here, let's go to Colossians 2:7 and see the correlation. I have circled examining all, then I have an arrow, and it says Colossians 2:7. Can you see that? I don't know. I have an arrow there. Let's see what Colossians 2:7 says. I'm just as interested as you are. It comes after Philippians, right? Yeah. Still, it's been after Philippians all these years. Colossians 2, verse 7. Starting with verse 6, as then you accepted Christ Jesus the Lord, be walking in him, having been rooted and being built up in him and being confirmed in the faith according as you were taught. There it is, superabounding in it with thanksgiving. Be taught, according as you were taught. The key word there is taught. We're being told today by certain people, Clyde Pilkington's one of them, that teaching's not important. Teaching, we can't fellowship around teaching. We just have to fellowship around naming the name of Jesus Christ. Even though Satan names the name of Jesus Christ. Satan believes in Jesus too. Satan believes in God. And that's all that's necessary for fellowship. Forget teaching. It just divides people. No, no, no. That's totally wrong. We are gathered and we unite around teaching. With spiritual words. Of a spiritual message brought by our apostle, by the glorified Christ. So he who is spiritual is examining all. And that goes back to the teaching, what you were taught. You examine it, and it consists of words. Spiritual words, but they're still words. They're still words on a page, but they're spiritually inspired rather than soulishly inspired. They're inspired by God rather than some Pentecostal's imagination. Every Pentecostal has their own interpretation. This guy had a dream. This lady got a revelation while she was on the elliptical machine. Yeah, her sweat dropped on the ground and it formed a picture of Jesus' face. These kinds of things. A Pentecostal guy looks in his coffee and sees a scripture verse. Or, no, they don't like scripture verses. Sees an image of Mary. Mary's alive. I saw her in my coffee mug. Now, that's the extent of Pentecostal revelations. They're soulish. They're emotional. Not spiritual. I saw Mary in my coffee, Mary the mother of God in my Folgers. Really? Not buying it. So he who is spiritual is examining all. yet he is being examined by no one. I love that. Don't let the Pentecostals tell you you're too intellectual. Don't let the Pentecostals tell you that it is not by intellect that we come to the knowledge of God, because it is by intellect. It is by spiritually inspired intellect rather than soulishly inspired intellect. It's intellect that responds to the Spirit of God rather than intellect responding only to one's immediate surroundings and immediate stimuli. I love the plural of stimuli. I love it. I'll say it as much as I can in this video. Hopefully I'll get another couple more opportunities here before I close the show. But I'm about to close the show. He was spiritual, is indeed examining all, yet he is being examined by no one. For who knew the mind of the Lord? Who will be deducing from him? Yet, see, it's kind of a real question. And you would think the answer would be, nobody. Because, I mean, it's a big thing. Who will be deducing? Who knew the mind of the Lord? It's like, can anybody know the mind of the Lord? Yes, we do. Yet we have the mind of Christ. That's verse 16. And I'll end with that. We have the mind of Christ. Not in fullness, but we have it in measure. We have it enough. We have enough of it that we are able to respond to spiritual stimuli. I got it in. We respond to spiritual stimuli coming from the throne of God. It's still stimulating. It's just not sourced from the world, from the corrupt world, and from the corrupt people of the world. It's sourced from the throne of God. And it is as reliable as God is reliable. And we're not making any of this up. We've examined it, and we found it to be true.